What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
Hey. What's up?
Don't. What is that?
What? We were twins.
Oh, who? No, we were not.
Yes, we were. No. Let's do it again. Hey.
No. I'm afraid not.
Why? Everything I do, you never want to do. Like, it don't matter what I do. It's like, no.
Well, definitely not that. You always trying to bring some new new character or something to the podcast.
I was replicating you.
I don't need to be replicated.
Okay, let's do it again. 1, 2, 3.
No, we've already said hey.
Uh-oh.
Okay. You gonna say it 3 times?
So, what's the next?
The podcast?
Oh.
Yeah, let's...
Let's get back to business?
Yeah, let's get back to business.
Okay. Hey! Is that your plan? You are now listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
All black. All queer.
No, I'm done. You tried it. That didn't sound like me.
All black. All queer.
No.
So I don't even need you anymore ever since I can pretend
thank
to
you. That don't sound like me, but whatever makes you, you not have to do it. I'm
fine
with that.
You know that I want you, yeah. You know that I need you, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to start now. We can't have dead silence. So we're going to get this going.
Well, because we only got dead silences because you're trying to be so difficult. I'm looking at you. Y'all can't see him, but to avoid coming in when I'm coming in, like he's just not saying anything because he don't want me to do, you know that I want you. Emerson, we were just talking about that song offline. And if you guys don't know, if you couldn't tell with my miraculous, what is it, miraculous? That's not a good terminology. With my wonderful voice, I was recreating a 2004 jam by Janet Jackson called I Want You. Emerson, when you think about this song, what comes to mind? You know that I want you.
2004? Oh, what was 2004 for me? Well, that was 2 years after I graduated from high school. Oh. So I was still out in the streets heavy.
But you know what song that album is actually from? Demita Joe is one of my favorites.
Oh, well, I was about to say, yeah, Demita Joe. I don't know where else it could be.
It's Demita Joe.
Yeah, Demita Joe. Yeah, Demita Joe gave me just what I needed. So I was happy. So yeah, and Janet, you know, after what she had went through, and I was still getting me some Janet. So yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that was our music 101. I'm just playing. So I guess it's time to check in, Emerson. And I'm not even going to ask you who's going to check in. I'm just going to run in there. I'm just going to beat it up. I'm going to slam in there. I'm going to go in there full throttle. I'm going to go strong in there. I'm going all the way in.
I don't think everybody needs to know that. You have that type of conversation with C+.
I'm talking about checking in.
That type of dialogue or how you was trying to describe it. You can use that type of terminology when you talk to C+.
By me diving into that check in.
No, you didn't say check in. You said I'm gonna dive in. I'm gonna slam with all that stuff you said. You save that for pillow talk time.
I'm gonna punch that check in. I'm gonna beat it up.
Oh my gosh. No, I wouldn't want nobody to tell me it like that. No, thank you.
Oh, you want nobody to beat it up?
No, I don't want them to say it like that. I'm going to beat it up. No, thank you.
They got to do it on beat. I'm going to beat it up. Mm-mm. What you want? I'm going to beat that. I'm going to beat that bitch with a bottle.
Oh, my gosh. No. You know what I heard while I was asleep today? It woke me up. A song that you talking about last night. Well, you text me last night. Nasty, nasty.
Oh, I've listened to it all day. I can't stop listening to it. Nasty, nasty. I actually like Boozy Badass.
I don't know if we should be liking him as queers.
Well, you know, yes, I understand that he is problematic, but I like he talk his shit, so I'll leave it at that.
Well, I don't. I ain't gonna go there. I mean, I have some more of the boozy badass songs too. But I think he is problematic. But you know, whatever. Nasty Nasty is a cute song. But you know, I don't. Mulatto. I don't know about Mulatto. I just don't know about Mulatto. But anywho,
who's Mulatto?
The rapper on the song. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I didn't pay her no attention. She kind of. I mean, she did her part, but it didn't stand out from it. It was an addition too. It wasn't like a standout type of thing for me.
Yeah, she just kind of, she don't have no personality to me.
Oh. Well, if you guys are listening or looking for a song, Nasty Nasty. Now, we don't support Boozy like that here at What Works For Us.
Even though we were just talking about the song for my.
But we do like the song. And sometimes you have to separate the music from the artist. And sometimes you can't. I-E-T-I. You're trash. And I'll probably spend the rest of my day or my life saying that. But anyway, my check-in. oh, my God. I don't even know what my check-in would be. What did I do? We already... This is the first... This is not the first episode. We recorded last week. So, what happened last weekend? I've been on a winter retreat with C+, and we've been doing our thing.
Playing house.
It was definitely, I think, over the summer with this relationship and going into the fall and going into the winter, you know, we've already done, you know, 3 seasons of love. And
oh my God.
Seasons change. People change. Remember that song, MFM?
No.
You remember one friend of ours from back in the day was in love with Exposé.
Oh.
Seasons change.
Well, I never did my research on them song. He would be talking about it. And I still didn't know who he was talking about because I never actually went out my way to listen to them. No shade.
You didn't even like The Point of No Return? Mm-mm. To the point of no return. That was my stuff. But anyway, I feel really inspired to create, like, you know, I guess it does... Your frame of mind kind of alters in relation to, like, what's going on in your life. Right? But, like, being in a relationship or, like, being in love does do that as well. Because now I'm like, oh, I want to write all this stuff about love. And I want you know, talk about Black queer love. And, you know, I want to use my art to, you know, because I'm not really big, you know, I talk about my relationship in a way on a podcast, right? I'm open in that way, but I'm not going to go in really, really, you know, deep details. And I use my art to do that the best way I can. So when I think about my situation with C+, it has inspired me to really tell a love story, you know, and that's where, like, my art has been shifted in that way. So I've been, like, writing about love every day.
Oh.
You know, so what, Emerson?
I didn't say nothing. I said, oh.
and so I just want to cherish the feelings that I have, and I want to kind of like timestamp it. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, to create in this space. You know, I don't take it for granted. I know what it feels like not to be in love, and I didn't take that for granted, right? You mm-hmm. know, I was in love with myself, mm-hmm. I was in love with my family and friends, and I created out of that, right? You mm-hmm. know, so it's not that you have to be in love to create love, you know, art around love. You don't have to be in love with a romantic partner. But because we know there's so much limits on Black queer art, especially, you know, love stories, you know. Mm. I was talking to C+, and they were like, you know, Moonlight was one of the best love stories. And I was like, Moonlight was a beautiful movie. In my opinion, I don't know if it was the greatest love story, right? Like, I mean, the premise of the story is that he was in a closet, and they didn't reunite it till 20 years later, or however many years later. Now, we don't know if they end up being together afterwards and stuff like that, but it's not the greatest love story because they went so many years without even being able to see each other, or they grew up without each other. They didn't even know each other as adults. But that moment that they had as children or young adults carried with them into this feeling they have for each other. So that is a beautiful story. But I don't know if it can't be the beautiful, you know, the most beautiful. And I'm not saying that mine would be the most beautiful, but I feel like for me, of course, I'm biased about my own experiences, right? And I guess when you're expressing yourself through the feelings that you have, and I'm like, okay, I'm in a very beautiful space, you know, so why not create around that? So, yeah.
I would rather an authentic story than something. Not saying that's not authentic. Well, first of all, let me just say it, and y'all can throw darts, thorns, whatever the fuck y'all want to throw at me. I'm not trying to come to check in, but I ain't seen Moonlight. But even still... But I ain't a movie buff, so that's not really that shocking. But, I mean, a story about somebody who's DL or that was in a closet. Now, I ain't gonna say DL. He was in a closet and, you know, he didn't, he had this suppressed version of love. I think the girls need to get out of fantasy. Get out of fantasy and, like, you know, tell a real, can we see a real story where somebody is, you know, they're openly gay? Like, what you're saying? I would much rather see that. You're openly gay. Y'all actually go through the natural progressions of relationships. There's no suppression or anything like that. It's just a natural, organic flow of feelings and love and emotions. Yeah, it's time for that at this point. I think all the stories that we see is something to it. It's just not... I'm trying to make sure I don't say the wrong word. But anyway, y'all get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I want to, you know, create. I'm working on this play. And, oh, my gosh. This play I want to do. So, yeah, you know, we had a bunch of meetings today. Launched my project. For all the listeners, we are launching a project. We relaunched it. The branding and everything is coming out next week. The Art Heals Project. And it's basically a healing justice movement around the intersectionality of mental health and persons living with HIV. We are launching a social media brand and everything. So be on the lookout for the Art Heals Project. Yes, Edmonton. I've been working on my vocals. I've been warming them up. And so I like to get in front of the mic and do what I have to do.
Period. Okay.
And so... And I guess the next thing for me around is Valentine's Day is coming up. And so I'm heading back to the Carolinas for that. Oh, no. 2 weeks ATL. ATL, shawty. Oh, my God. We're going to record that weekend? No, we all, because it's Martin Luther King weekend. We don't work on Martin Luther King weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We're black.
Okay. I didn't get that email, but okay. I know.
Yes. We don't work on Martin. We can't work on Martin Luther King weekend. We got to take that weekend off.
I got to work at all my other jobs.
And so that's pretty much with me. I'm just a fool in love. What you say? Hey. Yeah, so I think that's my check-in.
Okay.
I guess. I think so.
No,
you said... What you got? Should I go? Is there something I'm missing?
No,
I... Oh.
Don't do that. Okay, so I can talk now.
I'm not stopping you from talking.
No, I don't. All those sound effects and stuff, I'm not going to talk over that.
Or under.
Whatever. No, I can talk over. But no. My check-in, I don't know. I think I'm vitamin deficient again because I've been sleepy as hell lately. And I don't know why. And I really haven't been doing anything strenuous where I should be sleepy like that. But I've just been extra sleepy. And I don't know what that's about. So I think I'm deficient again because last time I felt like this, I was vitamin D deficient. And I'm not talking about D-I-C-K. I'm talking about the actual vitamin D. But I've been taking my vitamins, so I don't know. I'm thinking about taking getting one of those vitamin IV drips or one of those things. I think I need a boost. So I've been looking into that. So
just get some dick.
That's not going to help me.
Well, they say vitamin D is not real either.
Well, it's real when I go get a physical and they tell me I'm short on that shit. So, and I need to get some and not no D-I-C-K. So, yeah. I'm thinking about doing one of those vitamin IV drips or whatever. And not just vitamin D. Those drips give you all kinds of different vitamins. So, I think for the start of the year, decade, whatever, I think a nice little drip would do me some good. Other than that, it's business as usual. Trying to think. Oh, well, you know, I'm still learning about, you know, my energy, my dominant feminine. I've been very fascinated with learning about my my dominant feminine energies. You know, I really honestly feel like that was a missing component of my life on some real shit. I feel like I should have always known about that, how dominant feminine energies and all that kind of stuff, how you're supposed to work it and stuff. Because I've just done so many things wrong in my life. And now I feel like, you know, I mean, now at least I know I've done shit wrong. But I'm just learning so much shit about being a dominant feminine energy person. And it's very interesting. So if you're any listeners out there who are dominant, well, whatever, dominant masculine, dominant feminine energies, I'm telling y'all, go on YouTube and just look up feminine energy. It's so many videos on it. And it tells you so much shit. A lot of y'all probably are making a lot of mistakes just like I was. So go and figure out what's going on with that, because it's life changing. At least I think it is, because it's just, even though I'm tired as hell, I'm still, you know, with that, I'm still, you know, I'm just very fascinated with that. Trying to think what else. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on. No, not really. My birthday is gonna be here sooner than later. Don't really have any plans for that. It looks like the weekend of, we have stuff to do. So, what's it appear? So I don't know. Yeah, but my 36th dynasty is coming up. I don't really have anything big planned for it. Not really. I don't really have anything like, oh, I'm about to be partying and bullshitting. Not really. I'm just really focused on me and stuff like that. It was something else I wanted to talk about too. I know. I wanted to talk about, and it's not like a whole, hopefully we can talk about it in short, but like emotional blockages. That's something I learned about in my dominant feminine energy training, I'll say. And how emotional blockages can be so damaging to our vibrations, as far as the vibrations that we give off to other people. And it made me think about it. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what is like an emotional blockage I have? Like, if I dig deep, what is some type of emotional blockage I have? And one of my emotional blockages that I know that I have is rejection. I have an issue with rejection that I've never talked about. So I think that's something that I need to, well, it's not really something I really need to explore, I guess I'll say. It's just something that, it is something I need to explore. But I mean, it's just fact, I think it's something that if I address it, like I guess I am addressing it, it'll help with my vibrations and me attracting, being able to attract, you know, my future king and money and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's interesting. The reason I guess I'm saying is interesting. Well, it's okay. I didn't want to be long winded, but anyway, as far as the dominant feminine energy goes, they say that if you have emotional blockages and you have things that, you know, going on with you and your, that, you know, are issues or problems or emotional blockages or whatever, it's important that you do address them, because it turns into a superpower. Have you ever thought about that? Like how some type of like issue that you have like deep down, how it can really, if you flip it, it can turn into a superpower. It can be like a superpower for you, but a lot of times people don't address them, so it ends up being a hindrance. But if you actually go into yourself and try to address things that's going on with you, eventually or essentially it turns into a superpower.
So the issue that I have with being expressive and with my emotions,
oh yeah, how you can flip that and it can be a superpower. Yeah.
Mm. I'm working on it.
I think that's so interesting. I thought that is so true. Because then once you flip an issue that you have, mine being rejection, it's something that you've addressed. It's something that you've healed from. And it's something you learn from. So you can essentially use it to teach others how to overcome it. And, you know, you're kind of like an expert because you've tackled it, you've conquered it, and
experienced it.
Yeah.
You experienced it, tapped it, and conquered it.
Yeah. So then it becomes one of your biggest superpowers. So, yes, that's I'm going to end my check-in with this. If y'all have some type of emotional blockage that y'all have deep down that y'all are just blacking out, or y'all not, you know, you're trying to put off to the side, or you're trying not to address it, something like that, it will behoove you to actually go into it and try to at least address it and see what's going on with it, because once you flip it, it's your superpower. And that's it.
Baby.
This is one of my shortest check-ins I've had in a while.
Powers.
No, that, please not. Please, no.
We can't sing Little Mo?
No.
We were just talking about Little Mo. I'm just glad to hear that Little Mo has, she was on the Breakfast Club and she was talking about how she had an issue with opioids and she was in a domestic violence, abusive relationship.
And that, she's somebody who needs to dig deep into her soul and find out what her blockages are. Because she has a lot of them. Hers are very, very obvious.
I don't know. You know I step a little bow, and I don't really think I have anything nice to say. So, baby.
That was the nicest thing I think I could say about her. I mean, that's the nicest way I could say it. I didn't cuss or call her a B.
Love forever.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I don't
put it on me. Where would I be without my baby? Shout out to Little Mo.
I guess.
And the whole clan.
Ashanti.
Oh, is Ashanti leg? Is she still in that boot?
You know, I don't know. I hope it heals before she goes on this bomb ass Millennium tour she about to go on.
Well, you said she was gonna scoot the boot across the stage too.
If she scoot that booty with that boot on.
Baby, scoot the booty and the boot.
If she scoot that booty and that boot, I'm like, girl, Ashanti.
She gonna be like,
girl, I'm done with that damn boot. Girl.
Well, you know what's we call it laughing. What's his name? The one with the big dick.
Who got a big dick?
The skinny one.
That's part of who?
The Millennium Tour. Soulja Boy.
Oh.
He left. I'm like, girl, how people leave and be added to this tour? It ain't even happened yet.
Right.
Like, the lineup is just evolving.
That's problematic already. Because first of all, she wasn't. That's why you talking about Ashanti. Or I'm like, well, Ashanti, she going to. I'm like, well, Ashanti was not on that original picture.
Oh, no, girl. It was special guest. She was added. She was.
Oh, girl.
They cropped her face onto the flyer. Special guest Ashanti.
I guess.
I hope she don't be backstage fucking now.
I don't think she's a part of that circle.
Well, Mariana is definitely fuckable.
I'm not saying he's not fuckable. I just think, I don't know. They just all are, it's just some little weird interconnection that they all have. Somehow Janae Uku got out, though. Yeah. How did she get out of that?
Big Sean.
I guess.
You talk about that Chris Stokes circle.
Yeah.
You remember that? I think we talked about it before, but that I'll never forget that MTV Cribs where he pulled the remote out of the, like, basically where the dick would be at in the seat. I was like, that was so. I still to this day don't understand how they thought that was a good thing to actually record and put on MTV, him pulling remote control out of the fly on a pair of pants, like he was grabbing a dick. And he designed it to be that way.
I'm sure he did.
Shout out to Chris Stokes and everybody over there at the TUG Entertainment.
Right. Oh my gosh, yes. Did you know that Mila J came out on a Christmas album?
Did she?
Or EP?
Whether like Shantae Moore, like
I didn't. I was not about to listen to that. Ooh. I'm like, girl, no.
Why you don't want to listen to Mila J and Christmas?
I'm not gonna listen to her Christmas album. What is it? What is going on? She coming out with a Christmas EP, girl. First, no, I'm not. No, sorry, Mila J. I feel like was supposed to be her career just went totally right because her sister didn't know what the fuck she wanted to do. She was supposed to be side A, and she turned into some freako. Like, girl, I don't.
Anita Baker, fucking on the sideline.
Yeah, girl, what? I see that, but that little circle. But anywho, I guess we can get to the topic today because I just want to talk about friendships in your 30s because lately I've been thinking about like old friendships. And some of my old friendships, like, even, like, from when I was younger, like, sometimes, sometimes. Sometimes I miss them. Because it's like, you know, I grew up with some of these people, and it was certain rapports or certain, like, you know, ways I had with certain people when I was younger that, you know, it was kind of fun. And I do miss them. But then I think about being in my 30s and just, like, about trying to, like, make new friends and stuff like that. And it's like, girl, no. I don't know how Mr. Telltales feels, but like, trying to be a part of somebody else's circle or anything like that. Girl, no. I'll never forget the episode with Joan on Girlfriends. And she had got into it with Tony, Maya, and Lynn. And she was, like, working out with her trainer or whatever like that. And she was complaining about her. And she was like, well, if you found these problems with them, why don't you just get some new friends? And she was like, honey. She was like, you're young. You don't understand. I'm in my 30s. I don't have time to make any new friends. Okay. And I'm like, I felt like, yes, bitch. When you are in your 30s. All that stuff, if you are in your 20s or all that stuff that people say about your circle getting smaller is so true. Like, your circle definitely gets smaller, and you don't be thinking about doing anything to make it bigger. Like, me is just like, I'm like, girl, thinking about making new friends or being a part of somebody else's circle or clique, it exhausts me, and I just kind of don't have an interest. Doesn't mean I don't want to meet new people. Don't mean I'm not going to make new friends, but the thought of me just thinking I'm going to go out and meet new friends or meet new people, or it's in my 30s, it's like, girl, no. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, well, you know, I totally agree with that. I feel like, you know, being a community organizer and being in the community, I always meet new people, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, and then trying to promote my book and all of that kind of stuff. I'm like in the space of meeting new people. And so I enjoy meeting new people. Did the ice get to the straw?
It ain't nothing in here. I'm trying to suck up something out here. Ain't nothing in here.
Try to get that the water to the back of that throat.
That last little drip.
Drip, drop, drippity, drippity, drop. But no, I feel like I like meeting new people. I agree with you. And it's not so much for me that I don't want to meet new people or new friends and stuff. I think it's just like you said, it becomes harder. It becomes more of an effort to have to, like, see where people fit in. I feel like when you're younger, you're kind of more carefree. You meet somebody, y'all can be hanging out the next day. You know, and then, you know, back in the day, we would meet somebody at a party, and they're part of the crew, and they're part of the family, you end up hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, it didn't take much, whatever, whatnot. And then, but it's so weird now, though, because it's easier to connect with people. So we have more access, but it still feels like more work for me. Like, for me to actually, I have a struggle with trying to maintain the friendship that I have.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like a three process ring for me to, like, get new people, like, new friends. Like, we have to really get over the threshold. I have to actually see you again in a one-on-one situation for me to, like, get you to for me to be, like, texting and following up with you on a regular. If I meet you and we exchange numbers and stuff, you're just not a part of my, that I don't know, my everyday text and call, you know, circuit yet.
Yeah.
Once we hang out, and I'm like, you know what, bitch, I gotta do better. And then, okay. And once we make that initial thing, then okay, I talk to you and text you and stuff like that. But it's like an effort. It's work.
And you know what, though? It is a lot of work. And when you say that, though, I think about something that a lot of people out here, and you might be a part of some, but I'm not part of any. A lot of people who are in their 30s who have these friendships and stuff like that, they do group texting. And I'm like, that makes a lot of freaking sense to do group texting when you get older, because you ain't got time to be texting everybody individually. Let's just all talk together, because who got time to be individually texting? Girl, we could just all talk to each other. But then for me, would that work? No, because you might have some individual you want to say to one person that you don't maybe want to say to everybody else. But I know a lot of people out here, a lot of people talk about, yeah, in our group chat, oh yeah, we have a group text, da da da. I'm not a part of any, but I think that makes sense, especially when you get 30, because we grown, we got shit to do. We ain't got time to be, you know, like back in the day when we, like, oh my God, back in the day, back in the day when I used to be on the phone, like, oh my God, I used to be on the phone for hours. We used to be on the phone for like hours sometimes, mm-hmm. hours, like almost all day. And then we would do three ways. And be on three ways all day. And it's like, now I couldn't even imagine Mm-mm. being, I mean, me and you can talk on the phone for a long time, but we ain't did like no 3 hour. We ain't got that kind of.
No, I'd be like, all right. Right. And like, I'd be like, well, all right, girl.
Well, right. Well, shit, you can't even do 2 hours on a podcast. So.
Right. I'm like, all right, Evan. Right. It was nice knowing you, girl.
No, so, no, definitely not on the phone. Like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine.
And most of my phone conversations is in transit, like yeah. in the car, yeah. running errands, you know, like it's not just like pillow talk.
Well, what about you and C Plus though? Like, have y'all had one of those have you had a conversation with him for like hours and, you know, you got your feet up on the side of the wall?
Yeah, and I got on my special undies. And
well, that's probably some FaceTime stuff.
You know, I got on my favorite shorts that feels good up against my skin.
Oh, my goodness.
And my candle lid and stuff like that. So, yes, I mean, but even that is still an hour. I feel like, ooh, we did good. I'll be like, damn, nigga, we on the phone for an hour. Bitch, hour 15. Like, when I go over an hour, I start looking at the clock. I'll be like, girl, ooh, what? It's over an hour. And it can happen naturally. Like I said, most of the times if I'm in conversation in transit, so I'm on the move. And then the ones at home, you know, especially if I like smoke a blunt or something like that, I know I can, you know, like sometimes I do give myself the opportunity just to sit in the house and do nothing. So those days when I'm just doing nothing, then yeah, I can stay on the phone for a minute, but that's not often, right? And so, yeah. you know, but it's those people, like I said, outside of you, and maybe C Plus and my mama. Like my mama, we can be on the phone for hours. Yeah. That's pretty much all that is. My sisters, it's 15 minutes minimum, maximum. And we have really good conversations yeah. in 15 minutes, right? I can have a really good 15-minute conversation. Period. My brother, like my friends, my brothers, like Tyrone and Darnell, I speak to them. I might give them an hour, but it's still like once a month. You know what I'm saying? That we catch up on everything type of stuff. But they're not phone. We do not talk on the phone.
But I think as you get older, I think as you say that, it made me think that I think, too, another thing as you get older and you evolve, it's almost like y'all shouldn't be sitting on the phone at home talking. It should be more so about in-person interactions and, like, having experiences together. Even though I think when we were younger, we would talk on the phone long times and we would have experiences together. Mm-hmm. But I think now it's like, it's just all about having experiences. But, you know, I think that's what it should be about. I think it should be more so about, okay, let's get together and let's do something. Like, I see a lot of, you know, people older, they go on these group trips and stuff like that. I feel like that's more so, you know, my dream is to get a big ass. This is one of my dreams, is to get a big ass Airbnb that can sleep maybe about 10, 12 people. And I just invite 10, 12 people that, that I'm close to or friends with, that I feel comfortable, you know, we can be in that type of space and we do something like that. Now that to me would be lit. And that would be an experience, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to talking on the phone. Let's just get together and go somewhere on a trip and, you know, get an Airbnb and be ratchet and raunchy and drunk and merry. I think that's not everybody's experience, but I think that when you get older, that's what it should be more so about, be having experiences outside of just the phone with your small group of friends, because it ain't like you probably gonna have a whole bunch of them, like a group of 30, like how we used to travel back in the day. Oh my God, that sounds exhausting.
What, a group of 30?
30 people deep. Yeah. I can't, can you believe we just do that?
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
People, like, I'd be like, girl, this is a field trip.
Right.
Like, girl, y'all got your snacks. Everybody got their juices.
Girl.
Who need to go to the bathroom?
That would be annoying, though. That would annoy the fuck out of me. I'm like, no, are we getting ready to go? Like, are we leaving now?
Well, I like to ask. I'll be like, everybody got their panty liners.
Uh-uh, see. Everybody. Can that? Let's just go.
A group. I'm trying to think. What is the largest group of friends trip that I've been on? recently. I know we were just in New Orleans, and we ran into some people that I knew, and it was a group of us, and we were kind of like moving around. So, I mean, I do miss it, but okay, so on the flip side, right? But I think me and you always like kind of, we talk about this idea because we have experienced it, right? We had a house family, a gay family. We've had like even that divided up into even smaller groups of friendships and stuff like that. So what about the ones that continued? Like you see them now, like it's some people that I've seen like in Atlanta, they were like Judy's back in the day. And girl, they look 20 years older, but they still Judy's. Like they still do everything. It's like the same for a girl, like girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's the same. And I don't even know if it would be girlfriends. Yeah, like college age and then now they are pushing 40. So here it is, 20-year friendship, and they still it's still the same 4 or 5. Now that kind of thing. Like what do you think about those girls? Like, you know,
I think that's cute.
You think those cute? Do you think it's like a benefit to have that kind of those kind of friendships sustain?
Oh well, yeah. That's why I guess I'm saying I think if I would have kept, I guess that's what I was saying when I missed some of my older friends that I used to. If I would have kept them, like those ones, I would keep. Like I would still have them now, or those would be something I would, you know, or those are people that I think about that I'm like, okay, well, I need to maybe reach back out, try to mend fences. Not saying that we'd be what we used to be. I think I just want to do it just to say, okay, well, at least I tried.
Well,
how do
you know that you wouldn't be what you used to be?
Well,
different. Like,
I'm just saying. Well, I'm just being open minded that it might not. I'm not gonna have the expectation like, oh, it's gonna go right back to it. It might not. But if I made an effort to try to, you know, what I'm saying, like, you know, if I made an effort to try to be friends again or something, that would, I think that would mean something as opposed to me just saying, you know, I never did anything. So because I think, yeah. So for friends that the girls that stayed friends for 20 years and it's just 20 years and they still Jews, I think that's cute. I think that's real cute because I think that's what I'm saying. It's hard to build that kind of relationship with somebody new that you just met, like somebody you knew when you was 20 or 18, 19. Y'all have so many history, you know, it's so much history there, so many stories, there's so much stuff that y'all have, so many experiences that nobody else would know about. And you know what I'm saying, I just think that kind of, I think that's truly a blessing. And so when you have, or even, I mean, we not a foursome group, but I mean just even me and you have so much, we can go so far back with just our experiences. I think that is so wonderful. So having, keeping those type of friendships, I think are, I'm here for those groups of girls. That's why, you know, that's what I be seeing on my Instagram, groups of girls, they've been friends forever. And I'm like, oh, that's cute.
So what is like loyalty, since, you know, I was around some people yesterday and this word loyalty came up and I'm not specifically talking about that in particularly. But this idea of loyalty, like, what do you expect? And I guess I really don't know this answer, being friends with you since I was 15 going on 16 and you were being friends this long, what is, and I guess not even me, so I'm just guessing, like, you know, our friendship included, or outside of our friendship, because you've had plenty of friends that I didn't have any part in. What is loyalty? What is a friendship for you now, and what is maybe some loyalty issues you had? Like, what is loyalty in a friendship?
I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know if I've ever thought of like loyalty in a friendship. I know, I don't really have I don't really have like rules, because I just think I don't know what I would say loyalty is, because I don't really have any rules as to this is what you do. At least off the top of my head, I can say if this is a friend, this is what you do, and this is what you do, and you always do this, you always do that. Because I think in any situation I've had with friends, past or present, they all vary. They were all different. Loyalty was, I don't know what I would call loyalty. I think as an adult, I would consider loyalty just being, I don't know what I would call loyalty as an older friend. I mean, now as a friend, like, you know, you're a loyal friend to me. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Cause I can't say, well, you always do this, or you always do that for me. You always do this. Cause I guess I don't request that many things from my friends. At least I don't think I do. I don't ask much. So, you know, let's just get together. I guess for me, I just be wanting us to get together and hang out and have fun and have a good time. And, you know, we talk and, you know, kick the shit. And, you know, that's really pretty much it for me. I don't, you know, I would, I guess if something goes down or something was there happened to me, I would think that I would hope that somebody would be there for me. But I don't know if I have that expectation. I don't know if I have that expectation, which is not a good thing. But I don't know. So I guess I can't answer the question. I don't know what loyalty is. Well, I mean, I know what loyalty is, but I'm just saying I don't know what loyalty is in my friendships. I don't know what they are. I think, well, let me not say that. I mean, Mr. Tilt has been a very loyal friend to me. He's always been there for me. He's like, I always say he's one of my biggest cheerleaders, but this is my best friend. Friendship, just regular, I don't know. I don't know what expectation I would have from just a regular friend. I don't know what I want. I don't know what you need to do. I mean,
mine definitely is support.
Okay, well, that, yeah, I guess I have expectation. I
know, you know, especially now.
But what, yeah, friendship definitely.
Now, like, because I feel like, you know, where I'm at now, and I don't know if it's 30s thing or just doing my thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, when I create time to support friends, I expect the same support back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that looks like. It could look differently. I need to feel supported, you know, and I feel like that's a huge thing in my friendships. Point blank, period. And it don't always have to be an everyday support. It don't have to be every week, a month support. But you know, I mean, you know, I think everybody that I consider a friend in my life now, I feel like has supported me and I've supported them in whatever way. So I think that's very important. I think back in the day, it was really being the loyalty, especially like in ballroom, like, you know, like when you navigate through like a lot of these different queer spaces or black gay spaces and stuff like that, it could be very shady, you know, sometimes it could be very hard to navigate. And so I guess the loyalty for me was almost the same, like this, maybe not support like into my work or what I'm doing, but it was support for like, you know, if, you know, like going to balls or, you know, I like friends that came and visited me while I was at school, you know, friends that came to see. So I guess it's always really been support because I feel like I'm a supporter, you know, so I like to support people. I like to show gratitude for people and whatever they're doing, you know? And so, I guess I like that feeling back and I only require that from friends.
Okay.
You know, if I,
well, that's how it should be.
But, you know, some friends don't feel like they need to support you. I can, you know, I support you.
You know. No, you always support people. And you're right. I guess for me, I don't have that expectation. Because, you know, even stuff that I do now, like, you know, people from back in the day or people I talked to back in the day, like, I mean, well, I guess they, you know, they leave comments and stuff on Facebook and stuff like that, which is good, you know, but I don't. You know, I don't know. Like, you know, to me, I don't know. It's just certain things that certain people say or sometimes say something like that. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't necessarily feel supported, but I don't go, I'm not a tit for tat person. So, but I remember it that they did this, but I'm not evil. Like, oh, I remember you did that. I'm gonna get you back. It's just like, oh, okay. You know, I see how it is. So I guess for me, maybe that's just something I'm kind of numb with. It's kind of like, I don't put that pressure on people because I feel like I'm gonna be disappointed. So, maybe that's why I don't have an answer for that question. Because I don't want to hold nobody to that, because to support or stuff like that, because I feel like I would be disappointed in some kind of way. So, which is fucked up. I wonder, is that emotional blockage?
I'm about to say, because my thing is, so, because I guess in a way you're not defining what you need. Like, so what is it that you need from a friendship? And I think maybe, I mean, that's a part of, I mean, that can make it very hard to really identify what kind of friends you have moving forward. What do you need, girl? What is it? What do you need, girl?
I don't know. Again, like I said, I don't ask for much. So I don't know what I don't know what I would expect from, you know what I'm saying? Like, even, I mean, if you think about it, like with the whole thing of me saying, you know, I don't have to get married and all this kind of stuff. And if I did get married, I would have a grand wedding. I don't hold those expectations. I think I would be disappointed, but I know I've been disappointed in the past. So it's like,
From friendships.
Mm-hmm. But I just don't make a big deal about it.
Let's move into that. So when you say that, Is it the friend, like, what was, like, can you identify something that happened in a friendship that made you disappointed? I'm just curious.
I guess if you ask, like, just something simple as you ask somebody to, you know, people have lives and stuff to do and stuff like that, but you ask somebody to do something, or you ask somebody to be here, like, well, can you do this, or I'm asking you to come here to do that, and you ask them to do it, and then, you know, they get to the last minute, like, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to come. Oh, okay. But then you went out of your way to do stuff for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This isn't you, by the way. You're excluded from all this. But
thank you.
Right. But, but yeah, it would be something like that. So, and for me, it's, you know, I'm Aquarius. You know, that cut off. I didn't necessarily cut them off. But it's just like, I cut that off. Like, I don't have that expectation of you anymore. I can talk to you, but I might not necessarily ask you to do anything, or, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you don't. And I asked you before and you didn't make it happen, or I asked a few times and you don't make it happen. And yeah, and I felt like there would be times where I would make stuff happen, you know what I mean? So yeah, I guess that's something simple as be asking you to do something, or can you come here, or can you do this.
So dependable.
Dependable. I don't necessarily feel like they were dependable. Yeah, I don't think I had a lot. I don't feel like I had a lot of dependable friends. Like, or I would want to be dependable, and I would get disappointed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't always cut them off. I would be cool with them, but it was just, I was like, oh, but I know I can't ask them to do that.
Yeah, no, and I feel you with that, because I feel like, I mean, because I would just brought that up. I don't think that's like a solo thing for you, because I feel like I operate in that way too. That I don't put stuff on people, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't expect you to be, you know, and that, I think, is that emotional blockage, as you were saying, because I think that prevents me from really opening up or really putting myself out there to develop new friendships, because mm-hmm. I only keep you at a five.
Yeah.
That, I operate probably all new friendships at five being, like, the goal. Like, if I get you to a five, like, you're a 10, you know, how I really operate is a 10, right? Yeah. But anybody meet new now, I'm just satisfied for us trying to get to a five.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
That's it.
That, you know, and I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But then think about all the 10s or the 7s and the 6s and the 8s and the 9s that you kind of miss out by doing that. Because, you know, everybody comes to this game later in different ways.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying? Like, some people in their 30s, you know, in some capacity, they just now get a friends, you know, because people change over years. So, because I feel like I'm a different Tyreek than I was back then, like Beaven Housing days, mm-hmm. you know. And so I can imagine other people have experienced that, like, well, I'm a different person and I want to meet friends where I'm at my new energy in life, or how I am now, or how I operate now, because people do. And it's not about that, like, you can't make nobody change, but people do live in a different space. People do operate from a different energy. You know, everybody doesn't always stay the same.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like it could be some people that's just starting, that has a 9 and a 10 to give, but girl, I'm operating at a 5.
That's me too. But you know what though? I think I pull to spaces where there's a lot of people that's like me, meaning, you know, my favorite social media network in the world, YouTube. A lot of people, or even entrepreneurs. This is one entrepreneur I follow. She's from Detroit. And she was like, you know, I really don't have any friends. She was like, I really only hang out with my fiance and my cousin, Portia. Like, that, she was like, that's all she deals with. But she's on the internet all the time. You know what I'm saying? Or even, it's people I know who are married. And I'll be looking at I'll be like, well, I feel like they're more connected with their online audience than not necessarily their spouse, but I'd be sometimes like, when they talk to their spouse, I'm like, y'all don't seem connected, but they talk to the online audience like they best friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or I have some people, they be like, you know, they call the online family. Like, you know, y'all are my family. I love y'all so much. You know what I'm saying? They always coming online, because you could get these loyal people. You could get loyalty from people that you don't know online, but then
get loyalty from people you don't know. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why is that? How is it that you could get a lot more loyalty from people that you don't even know, and support and all that kind of stuff? I just realized that, I mean, we were talking about this even like with the player stuff this year. last year that I was like, wow, it's like the more you interact with people, people know you, it feels like the people that's closest to you kind of, you know, and maybe they tired. Like maybe you do too much. You know, I always think about that, right? Like what if you do too much? Like they don't always have to be active. So you become dependent on these people that you don't even know to support. And they what? Show up.
And they show up. And you know what? I kind of feel like I might be a little thirsty for that. Like, not now. But you know, I you know me, I'm like, you know, like I said, I know where I'm going next with my whole thing. You know, YouTube is where I'm going once I am able to do it the right way. And I guess for me, I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but I definitely think I would be open to that. I would be open to having this online space of people that, you know, I talk to or we, you know what I'm saying, that type of situation. I'm definitely will be open to that. Just because I know, I know me. I know how I'm loyal to certain people that's online. You know what I'm saying? I watch them faithfully. And, you know, I'll comment on their stuff or anything they ask. Make sure you like my, I'll do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just because I have this connection with them. But, yeah, you like you said, people that we know, I just wouldn't. It's just like, I don't, like you said, I don't know if it's they tired or I don't know what it be. But I guess emotional blockage. It's something I'm just putting to the side. Like, I'm not even about to go into that because I don't want to know what that is. Whatever it is, I can still operate.
Without even knowing. Yeah, and I think it's easier. Sometimes rocks left unturned is a lot easier to get through.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to know. It could be a spider under there. It could be a motherfucking poisonous snake. All types of stuff.
Right.
But it could be a butterfly waiting to come out.
You're right, but you another thing too. But you know, another thing I think about too, though, is not even just online space people. I think too, especially well, for both of us, like you say, we're both well, yeah. I ain't gonna say one is more than the other. We're doing stuff different. I know I'm doing stuff different that people, you know what I'm saying? People don't really understand. I always say that people don't really understand what I'm trying to do or where I'm trying to go. It's not something that is normal. It's not the normal path. And a lot of times when you're in a position where you're in a state where I'm at with my personal brand stuff, you don't have a lot of support. Mm-hmm. You don't get the support. And I just saw something about this yesterday on Instagram where they was showing somebody, they was like trying to push a rock up a hill or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had these people just kept walking back and forth, like looking at them, even their parents looking at them like, you know, well, I don't know what you're doing. It just kept walking away, calking away. And then they finally pushed the rock up to the top and all these people come rushing. Oh, yeah, I knew you could do it. You know, and they looking back like,
girl, like we're, none of y'all right. Had to push this rock up here.
Thank you. Where did you come from? You know what I'm saying? So I think no shade, but that's the truth. I think when you're doing stuff, you know, where people don't really get it, they don't understand it's not conventional or they feel like you're doing something that, oh, that's not gonna really be nothing. Then boom, everything you hit. You know, like, oh, okay, I always knew you could do it. That's how it be sometimes too. So, and I guess for me, that's why I'm like, you can stay out of five.
Yeah.
Cause you're gonna stay out of five then too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't gonna be like, period. Oh, you're right, period. It ain't gonna be, oh, you here now? Oh, cause, you know, come on. Thank you. I'm happy you noticed now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep pushing on and meet and be with more people that are doing. I think that's why I say I want to network with and get around people that's like that understands this. Because I think I probably could have friendships with people who understood where I'm trying to go, and you know, trying to be that 1%, trying to be a part of that 1% of people. You know, that it, I think 1%ers, people who are 1%ers, they hang out with each other. So. Yeah, so I guess that's what I don't. Yeah, that's fucked up though. I ain't never thought about that. I don't have no expectations for my friend, for people that's my friend. You
know, and I know for me, like being in community, right, and being a community organizer, it can be lonely. I was listening to another podcast and it resonated with me so well because sometimes you don't like you have to kind of move by yourself in a lot of ways.
I do.
And, you know, you don't know, like, it just gets, like, when you're doing this, like, you know, activism and stuff like that, you just don't know who to believe or who believes you and who really, like you said about that rock, like, you know, that, you know, they, you know, and I talk about like heavy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that you just never know. And so you do, you know, and I was just thinking about, and I know I'm saying a bunch of nothing, right?
No, but this ain't nothing. Like, it's some real shit.
No, I'm not articulating it, but it's like, you know, you always talk about mental health. You talk about suicide. You talk about black queer. Then, you know, now I'm talking about HIV. Like, this is stuff people, like, yes, people are talking about it and on this major, you know, on this universal scale. But when it's your friend, right, and, you know, or people that's close to you, they don't want to hear that. Like, or if you were, like, you know, heterosexual or non-queer activism, you know, mm-hmm. that they down for the black people. When you throw some HIV stuff up in there, they like, you going too far. Like, you know, then you alienate.
Oh, that's
from
so
that.
True. That is so true.
You know, you could be talking about depression, but if we really, like, you know, because people like this cookie-fed stuff. They like operating in this very, you know, safe, you know, rhetoric and these, you know, popcorn, you know, subjects and, you know, hot subjects, you know, and mental health. Like, girl, I stop having, and then you get, for like me, you get numb to people doing that work because you get tired of it. You get tired of this fake, and you see the fakeness, and you see the phonies, and you see the people that don't like you, and you really don't like them either. But you love them, right? You love them as a person, but you really know that you don't like them because they don't like you. And you know, and being in a community space, but you still have to have this persona, and you still have to present yourself and be true to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You can't. So you got to keep that space. You got to kind of keep that distance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then being an artist too, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we keep talking about this crabs in a barrel stuff, and I talked about on last episode, like being a playwright of people, or like trying to produce or direct and looking for funding. People, a lot of people are not. They'll say, "Oh, I can be your mentor." People are not. They want to be just them and only them.
Mm-hmm. They period. Do. That, oh my God, that's so true.
And it ain't just no female rap or R&B diva junk. It's the real folks right there on Martin Luther King Boulevard and I-35. Okay, it ain't, you know, that stuff. It's that's real true. People that really feels like that.
That's true.
You know, people in L.A., New York, they just like, no, this is my space. And I really want to do this campaign of 2020 around love. And what I get, you know, people always like, girl, stop with all that, you know. But I really want to ask the question, like, why is so many people afraid to talk about, like, love in a more practical way? Why is it this big old mushy, over-the-top thing? It's literally a feeling.
You know what?
It's love. It's a one feeling.
That is so, you're just so funny to talk about that, because I was thinking about Diddy the other day. Well, actually, I was thinking about him today, because Diddy, that's what he was on this big thing about love. He was like, you know, it's all about love. I'm love and da 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 da. And I've heard other people say it, love. And I'm like, you know, why can't we just, you know, we just need love. We need to just show more love. You know what I'm saying? It does sound cliche, but it is something that we need to do. But people, I'll talk about it closer to when we close. I'm going to try to keep it short because I can really go in. But anyway, I just think, we do need to talk about love and just loving and loving one another. Just, you know, like you said, from a practical standpoint. But like you said, a lot of times people do just want it to be them. They want to be the only one, or, you know, the scarcity or crab in a barrel mentality. You know, people, they operate that way, which is another reason why I be keeping people at a distance. Like, girl,
you don't know who you can. It's scary.
It is.
And you have to protect yourself. You don't know people. Like, people, I feel like sometimes I feel like people just not here for me.
I don't see how you feel that way, though.
But it's the truth. Like, I feel that way. I feel like people say they cool with you, but not cool with you. But I still push on, right?
No, of course you do.
But I don't know why you. I don't understand why you said you don't know how I feel that way.
Because I think people. I guess, or maybe that's what you're saying. People say they like you, but they really don't. But because I always feel like, people genuinely like you. Like, you know, you're very well received. So when you say that, because I'm like, no, I think people fuck with you.
But you've been in incidents where around when I haven't been around with you heard some. But I've just said that's just one that was caught.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true. I'm just coming back to me now. Like, oh, that's very true. I'm getting mad again.
Right.
But no, that's very true. You're right. You're right. But I guess that's what we were talking about the last episode too. And I guess that's what Will was talking about. You know, when I was saying I wanted to be collaborative, and he like, no, honestly, that sounds good, but you can't trust these bitches. Yeah. Right. I'm like, well, you're right. But then again, you know, I see it with other people though. So it's like, I do see it work sometimes. So that's why I'm like, well, it can work. It might, again, you might have to flick off a couple of ants and roaches, but sometimes you can get with a group of people and y'all can be collaborative and connect and y'all can actually lift each other up. Cause I do see it. So it is hard. But going back to you saying it can be a lonely space, when it can be a lonely space when, yeah.
I feel lonely in community. I feel very lonely in community. Most of everything outside of us, like, what?
I can't say.
Oh.
But I can say, but I'm not going to say on here. But, I mean, you do have, I can't say. But I get what you're saying. You may, maybe from a group, like from more than
right,
one person.
Right. I mean, as far as community, yeah, right? Like the different, you know, I have a few. I have my people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I'm able to sustain. Because if I had to rely just on the next organization or the next person in power or this organization,
yeah, okay,
this
yeah.
university, this person, that person, getting that grant and, you know, like thinking about me as far as programming or helping me get to, you know, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, but shout out to like Manage with Dawn.
Yeah.
I have that. Yeah. Shout out to Fabian and the D Wood Foundation.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Hawk Foundation. Shout out to the City of Austin. I mean, it's a lot of shout outs.
But that's more than some people can say. Some people don't even have that.
Yeah. So that's why. And I'm okay. That's why I say I'm okay. I do feel lonely at times, though. Because even with those, I don't know. I don't know what I want. But I think I just want better community, you know, near and afar. But I have a new mentor out of ATL. And so we're going to talk about some stuff. Because I need a lot of advice, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of things change for me. And so, you know, what friend, and I'm open to friends. I actually want new friends, but I want friends that is aligned with spiritualness, positive spirituality. Like, I mean, real shit. Mm. You know, I don't have time for stuff that I'm not aligned with.
Oh, I know I don't. But see, that's why I'm like, you know, that's why I'm kind of like, you know, I don't even want to go there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to be exhausted with that. I already feel overwhelmed with the shit I got going on now. I don't need friends, but that's my thing. Well, that's no high maintenance. I definitely don't want no high maintenance friendships. Not saying I could support, but I don't need a friendship that is too much. Like you said, we're not aligned and it's just this going on, it's this going on. You're taking more from me. You know what I'm saying? You're taking more from me. I have to fill more into your cup than you filling into mine. I don't think I could do it. It has to be a mutual situation. And my girl Maya, that damn Maya Sly, she talks about that. You know, mutually beneficial relationships with friendship. I am 1,000% with that. It has to be mutually beneficial where we pour into each other's cups. I cannot be pouring all into your cup and you ain't pouring shit into me. I can't do that. I definitely don't want no friendship like that. I have no time for it. So I'm with you on that. I'm open to meeting new people. I'm an Aquarius. So I'm like, but see, that's a part of me learning about my energy and all that kind of stuff too. As far as being a little bit more open and to be able to penetrate energies. It's just, it's a work in progress for me because that's hard for me to do just willy-nilly. But I mean, I guess I'm open. I talk about this all the time, going to meet new people in new spaces at different places. I think I'm about that because I do want to meet more people that have that kind of think like me. Mm-hmm. Not exactly like me, but I'm just saying we have that same, we don't have the crab in a barrel's mindset. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, support. Period. So anybody want to shout out? Shout out to all people who ready to support in 2020. Shout out to people who want new friendships. I'm here. But, you know, regardless, right? Friend, not a friend. You know, I want to make this very clear through this podcast that I'm open and available for anybody. Right?
Oh, yeah, you are.
I love people. It takes a lot for me not to be able to be there and love on you and, you know, and expect you to love on me back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just specifically talking about friends and like really, really close friends. But as far as my energies, you know, I have a lot to give. I've already determined that this is my life calling. So I want to be clear, you know, I want to reiterate that energy, even though we're talking about friendships, that I am a person. Feel free to hit me up, talk to me, converse with me. I will talk and converse and be cool with everybody. Like, I don't know what you could do to me. You would probably have to beat me up and my mama for me to just be totally done with you in real life. You know, that's just how I am, you know? So I want to make sure I got that across. I love y'all.
Did you have to end it like that?
I love y'all. And I'm about to show y'all this. You know, I got mic play.
No, please stop it. No, we don't need to hear that. Please stop. That does not sound good. Tyreek, you'd have never listened back to the episode when you do that. That does not sound good.
What does it sound like?
Bad.
Like, what's bad? Like, bad not quality? Not
good. No, it just does not sound good. It's like, when you do that, it's like, why would you be doing that? It's like, why would you do that?
What am I doing exactly?
What you just did? Well, I was trying to block you out from doing those noises that you was making in the microphone.
But I didn't even get a chance to let it out.
You did enough. I heard what you did do.
You also saw. You right here in the room with me.
Okay, well, they can't see. I'm talking about from a listener standpoint.
But what do it sound like?
Not good. It doesn't sound like pleasurable. It's not something I think somebody be like, ooh, like this is so calming.
What do it sound like?
Bad.
I don't understand what bad, like bad sex, bad noises.
Bad noises. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's just not a good noise. Like if you heard a bad noise or a good noise, that's not a good noise.
But what's a bad noise?
That's a lot of bad noises. What is
somebody getting hit by a car?
No, you screeching taking like a nail or something on a chalkboard, like that type of. It's like
that's
bad.
What that sound like when I go like.
That just is not ill. That sounds ill. That's what it sounds ill. That tells you that's it. It sounds ill. That doesn't sound good. Ill.
I'm glad it's ill to you.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody please. Well, you know what? We still waiting for some comments. Somebody please leave a comment if I'm wrong. They're like, I disagree with your motherfucking ass. Go ahead and say it. That'll be a comment. I'll take it. If y'all like his sound effects, maybe he can do a whole episode for y'all. Ew.
Ooh, like. I didn't even do that, but move the mic. Now you just—that wasn't even a sound.
Yes,
effect.
You
that
did.
Was literally the mic moving.
No, it sounded like you was sucking on something. I can hear.
I didn't even. The mic moved, Edmondson.
No, you was.
You exaggerating.
No, I'm not.
Oh my god. Well, you know, I could do like. I think they need to do like a when they eat. When they be doing that, they eating, but then I could do a whole episode of just sound effects.
AMSR?
Yeah, but what can I do with no food involved?
AMSR is not food.
Oh, it just sounds?
That's just sounds.
Oh, so I could just do a whole episode entitled AMSR?
Mm-hmm.
Would y'all listen?
Comment if you would listen. I won't be here.
You gonna listen. Oh, you gonna listen.
Don't be trying.
I'm out this motherfucker since you don't want to hear what I got to say and my sound effects.
You can talk.
You can follow me on Mr. Telltales on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you know what? All my Instagram people, follow me on Twitter. Let's bust Twitter wide open because Twitter, they think they got something going on over there. I'm about to shake it up a little bit, you know. So follow me on Twitter at MrTelltales.com. Oh, no. That's the website. And of course, What's in the Mirror for the Art Hills Project coming out on social media. But until then, just go to whatsinthemirror.org and What's in the Mirror on our Facebook and stuff like that. And love on your friends, love your friendships, support your friends, show up.
Yeah.
Like Emerson said, I know he's going to have his own closing thing, but I feel like I really like the idea because I did do the work last year about rekindling some friendships, some old friendships, people that I really know that matters in my life. Don't let those people go.
Yeah, don't.
And
I agree with that.
And it's never too late.
No, it's not. And then the worst that can happen is if they don't want to be back friends with you or whatever, like that, you try. At least you tried. And you know, you came from a good place of trying to, you know, mend fences or whatever. You can reach me at the L Code on Instagram, Eric Lee Edmondson on Facebook, the L Code on Twitter, but I don't be on there. The L Code on Pinterest if you want to see some pretty pictures. And of course, thelcode.com, which is my blog. And I want to give a shout out before we close this episode to all the fine ass niggas out there. When I say this, I want to be clear. When I say fine ass niggas, that is just any beautiful black man out there. It don't have to be, no, you know, I'm not specific when I say that. I'm just saying all you black beautiful men. I mean, a lot of guys, they can be fine on outside and ugly on the inside. And if you're ugly on the inside, you're ugly on the outside. So I don't want to seem like I'm being shallow. I just want to send love out to all the black beautiful men out there, because that chick on the reel said something about y'all again. She's really on a rampage going against y'all, and I don't appreciate her at all. And I want to smack her because I'm tired of her talking about y'all. So y'all know y'all got a cheerleader in me, regardless of her and her trying to slam y'all and talk about y'all every week saying how y'all ain't shit. Y'all are shit regardless of whatever. She just, you know, she's doing whatever. She sold her soul. She wants to get a TV show of her own, and she's just saying anything she can do to get one. But don't, you know, don't let people like her influence you, because there's people out here like me that still loves all y'all black, beautiful, fine-ass niggas out here. And that's that on that. So I guess we are done now.
Holla.
Holla.